What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, folks, before we start the show, here's Stephanie Miller with a word about Omaha Steaks.
Well, make home your favorite new restaurant this winter with Omaha Steaks delivered straight to your door. Have you ever wondered what makes Omaha Steaks so good? It's the aging process. Omaha Steaks aged at least 21 days. That's where the magic happens. Try these mouthwatering steaks in the Butcher's Best Sellers package. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter that promo code VOICES into the search bar to save over 50% and secure exclusive pricing. Included in the Butcher's Best Sellers package are four iconic fork tender Butcher's Cut filet mignons, four ultra juicy burgers, four savory pork sops, four kielbasa sausages, four rich and decadent caramel apple tartlets, and so much more. In addition to getting more than 50% off, you also get four more chicken breasts, four more of those delicious burgers for free. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com, type VOICES in the search bar, order the Butcher's Best Sellers package today, save over 50%, plus get four chicken breast, four burgers from the company that's been bringing people together for over 100 years, omahasteaks.com. Type VOICES in that search bar at omahasteaks.com.
Thank you, Stephanie, and now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey, what do you guys want? There's a source over at General Accounting that tells us that there's a whole rat's nest of illegal shit going on over at Creep. Like what? Like a slush fund.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars of unaccounted for cash.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars? Any comment from Creep?
Yes, unavailable for comment. They're not talking.
But what else beside the money? Where's the goddamn story?
The money's the key to whatever this is.
Says who?
Deep Throat.
Who?
Oh, that's Woodward's garage freak, his source in the executive.
Garage freak? Jesus, what kind of a crazy fucking story is this? What did you say?
He's on deep background. I call him Deep Throat.
Look, McGovern's dropped to nothing. Nixon's guaranteed the renomination. The Post is stuck with a story no one else wants. It'll sink the goddamn paper. Everyone says, get off it, Ben, and I come on very sage, and I say, well, you'll see. You wait till this bottoms out. But the truth is, I can't figure out what we've got. What else are you working on?
Well, we're after a list of Creep employees.
Where is it?
It's classified.
Well, how are you gonna get it?
We haven't had any luck yet.
Get some.
Bob Seska!
Eat shit, Bob!
The Bob Seska hey. Show!
You know, I made that jingle, and I'm always shocked when John Oliver says, eat shit, Bob. I don't know why. I don't know why that shocks me. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, Feb 9, 2021. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 21 of the Biden-Harris administration, 637 days until the 22 midterms. Oh, my God. Let's bring him in. There he is. Yeah.
Mike.
Oh,
hi,
Rocky
Bob.
Mountain
hi,
Mike.
Bob.
Hi, hello. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Bob. And don't eat shit, okay?
Thank you so much. I'm so happy when I meet someone, I engage with someone, and they tell me I don't have to eat shit. That's always a great way to start
totally
the conversation.
Not necessary.
Yeah. Absolutely. Shit. Okay, so we've got so much going on today, Mike.
Yeah.
This is, first of all, we thought last Tuesday was your last show filling in for Buzz. Turns out that's not true.
For some reason, that seems like a month ago.
We lied to everybody. It turns out today.
Yeah, I'm back. And you know what? I actually have a special announcement.
What's your special announcement?
Are you ready for this? Here
okay.
it goes.
Yeah.
I have COVID-19.
No, you don't.
No, I do. I actually do. I seriously do.
How? Wait a minute. You already had your first vaccine.
I had my vaccine shot on my first shot on Tuesday before we started the show last week. Then I started feeling a little woozy, and I thought it was the shot. And then by Thursday, I started feeling like I was having one of my sinus infections. And so Saturday afternoon, I got a test, and they called me Sunday morning and said I was positive.
Oh, my God.
And I was floored. You know what happened? Okay, we talked about it last week, how I'm starting this new job.
Yeah.
So I thought, if I do have, you know, if I am feeling under the weather, I'm going to go get a test because I want to be have an abundance of caution when right. I start my new job, because it's an in-person job. So I can show up at the door and say, you know, this is just a sinus infection. I don't have COVID. So when they called me Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. And this is the results of your test, I was like Sir Robin at the Bridge of Eternal Peril. And, you know, I was very confident. I had all the right answers. Go ahead. That's fine. Go right ahead. And she said, you're positive. And I was like,
holy
what?
Shit.
You know, and it just threw me off. You know, yeah. I don't know that.
right. So, God damn. That's startling. I had no idea. Is this your first time you're telling? Is this the first time you're telling anyone?
Yes, you've got a scoop.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. Holy
shit. I had told a few close friends. My sisters don't even know about this. And I haven't posted it on any social media or anything. And I just wanted to break the news here. And, you know, I was really worried that, okay, I had to go back and tell these people I've been, you know, I was ready to start a new job. It was devastating that, oh, my God, what's going to happen now? And I just got the word right before we went on that they went ahead and pushed my start date out and everything is cool and I'll get to start the job. And that was a huge relief because you know how it is when you're sick anyway. Yeah. Even if you just have the flu or a cold or something, you have to get all this sleep and everything and you just feel helpless.
Right.
You feel like there's nothing you can do in the world to help yourself. Mm-hmm. And to have to worry about whether you're going to get to start the job. And that's the thing about this place. I mean, you know, I talk about all the time about how 77% for Trump and everything. But the other side of that, these people are the nicest people in the world. They will bend over backwards for you. It always totally fucks with my head. How can they be so nice and be, you know, for this?
Right.
But, you know, who knows what these people have going on. But they're being just super about it. And, you know, I'm just kind of a little weak. I have some, you know, some pains in my lower back. And occasionally a cough, but mostly just kind of feel like crap. And that's been it.
So. Well, Jesus. I mean, that makes you I lost count. Maybe the sixth member of the Stephanie Miller Show to test positive. I mean, is it between Stephanie, Chris,
and, you know,
Travis?
This is what kills me is I was incredibly anal retentive about not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
I had one exception, and that was I would go to the bowling alley. I know, make all your jokes. to practice my shots on Wednesday afternoon when the place was absolutely empty. There was only one person in there, and she was wearing a mask and gloves behind a plastic counter to just sign my credit card and all that stuff. And then the rest of the time, I'm completely by myself, not within 100 feet of anybody else.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I did duck into the store for some beer a couple of weeks ago when I was in there for a total of 3 minutes and I didn't get within 20 feet of anybody there. And everybody there had a mask on. So I am just completely perplexed as to where I got this.
I mean, could it be the vaccine itself or no? I know some people get the vaccine and they have some symptoms.
See, I don't really understand enough about it, but the way that the incubation period lasts, I would have had to if I got infected when I got the vaccine, then that means I started showing the symptoms 2 days later. I don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. I mean, and that place was relatively empty, but you know, it was Duke Medical, and so there is the possibility that somebody came in there with it. But I don't believe I would have started showing symptoms after only 2 days.
Yeah, and you have your own bowling ball, too. It's not like you're sticking your fingers in ridiculous foreign holes or something
stuff,
like that.
You know? Yeah. And the other thing is when I would do grocery, I would do the curbside pickup, and they give you that credit card thing to stick your credit card in. So, you know, I always handled that without, like, wearing gloves or anything like that. So maybe that. But, you know, there's no way to ever know. I suspected my girlfriend because she's the only person I've been in, you know, within 10 feet of in the past month. And she's been sick all week. She said she had the flu. And so after this happened to me, I said, you get tested. You know, and she's been tested twice and she is negative. She just has the flu.
That's crazy.
So, I'm glad that she's not sick because she was around her grandkids all the time. And I just thought for sure it was, I was completely willing to throw her under the bus right off the bat. That's what a swell guy I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like, but it wasn't her.
The real pisser of all of this, Mike, is not just that you're testing positive, not just that you have symptoms, but also the fact that you've made it this far. You've made it this close to the point where you've had your first of two vaccinations.
Yes, and you get it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's what makes me want to be even more cautious as time goes on, because I've gone this far,
last August I got in my car and drove to Montana and back. And nothing, so after, you're right, after doing all of that and get the first shot, it is so demoralizing to go through this. So, and look at Buzz. Buzz had to go through hell and back. And as far as we know, he never got it, right?
Yeah, he and his wife were tested three times.
If anybody should have gotten it, it should have been him.
That is true. Buzz would survive a nuclear Armageddon. I'm absolutely convinced of it. If there were nuclear bombs dropping on the United States right now, the one place that would not be harmed by the radiation would be maybe a 6-foot diameter around Buzz Burbank. That is how impenetrable he is and indestructible. But yeah, so he went to Kansas, was dealing with two parents who were both tested positive, had physical contact with one of them, carrying them to the car to go to the hospital, and then did not get it. And of course, we're all extremely happy that he didn't get it, but it seems so random. And I think that's what makes it especially scary, too.
And that's part of the reason I wanted to mention this on your. I was torn. I thought, well, maybe I'll just keep this to myself and not wear my heart on my sleeve. But on the other hand, I thought that, my case is a good example for people to know that you can take all the precautions in the world.
Yeah.
And still it happens.
Yeah, right. We just finished watching the Netflix documentary series Night Stalker about Richard Ramirez, the serial killer. And one of the things, recalling back to that period of time in Los Angeles, was in the middle 80s, one of the things that was so scary about the Night Stalker, about those murders, were how random they were. And the thing that struck Kimberly and I so intensely watching that is it felt like COVID. It felt like COVID embodied in human form, except that the death was much more brutal and awful than obviously COVID deaths are. But the randomness is the off-putting part of it. The randomness is what's so terrifying.
The randomness of infection and the randomness of how severe it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You just don't know. I mean, there could be people walking around who had it at some point. I mean, it's entirely possible that I was positive for COVID at some point and didn't have any symptoms and had no idea. Again, another reason why it's so important to be safe, irrespective of where you are or what you're doing or what the rate of transmission is and the rate of hospitalization is in your area. We've got so much to talk about with regard to all of this, because this is the last 5 days, have been just shirker mania. I mean, the number of shirkers going around, especially revolving around the Super Bowl, has been mind-numbingly awful. And then
we had one here that was Chapel Hill whenever UNC beat Duke in the fucking basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
They all took to the streets there in Franklin Street in Chapel Hill and just acting like nothing was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Just a bunch together and no masks, nothing. And just,
well, much like you, I announced last week that my brother had tested positive. I believe I announced that last Tuesday. And then it turns out that my niece has... No, I announced it on Thursday's show. Now my niece, my brother's daughter, has tested positive. And it looks like my sister-in-law will also be testing positive. She just lost her sense of taste and her sense of smell. She's congested. She's got the symptoms. So the likelihood is that she also has it. And so that's, it's really hitting close to home. And what's amazing about her is, much like you, she already had the first of her two vaccinations because she's a maternity nurse. And so she's an essential worker. And, she was a priority for getting vaccinated. So she had the first shot. And so it's in this phantom zone, in this gray area between the two vaccinations, that not only you, but also she ended up getting this this virus at the same time or at the same period.
That's what's so killer about it, because you're like, okay, I made it. I got it. I made it through this. I can just get this vaccination and I can have a somewhat normal existence.
Yeah.
But, I still have my taste of smell and everything. And I just to make sure, as a test everywhere, to – to see if I've lost my sense of taste, I'm going to listen to Buzz Burbank's dad jokes. And if I start to laugh at any of them, I'll know that I've lost my sense of taste.
That's right.
I am quarantining, but the neighborhood cat still comes around. So now I got to put on a mask and gloves when I feed the cat.
Right.
Because I don't want to give it to her and have her spread it all over the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's true. Can you transmit coronavirus through
a cat? I heard both ways on that. But the latest I heard is that, yeah, cats and dogs. I'm not sure about dogs, but cats can carry it, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was just like gorillas, and very few of us, if any, have gorillas that are coming to our back door asking for food.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but it seems like the last thing I read. Initially, I saw something that was no, and then I saw something that was yes. Yeah. But just like everything else the past year, you don't know fucking who to believe. You know?
Well, we're going to talk about the impeachment coming up here in a little bit. Obviously, the impeachment is getting underway right now as we speak, started at 1 p.m. Eastern time today on Tuesday, and we've got some comprehensive discussion to get into a little bit. But now that we're talking about coronavirus, I got to dig into just the cavalcade of shirkers from this past weekend, and it infuriates me to no end, because it's this kind of self-indulgence that, to me, I think of not just this pandemic, but I think about the next pandemic, which could be even more severe. We don't know what the next pandemic's going to be. And then beyond that, I think about the climate crisis and the sacrifice that we're going to have to make in order to mitigate that. And I realize, oh shit, we're just not capable of doing it. We're just not. The American people just are incapable of making the collective sacrifice anymore.
We have not been forced to do that since World War II.
Yeah, exactly.
We've not had any event that's ever made us do that. And so we have an entire, three generations of people out there that have no clue what that is.
That's right. And that's the sort of effort that we need to make. We need to make that collective effort where we were able to all get together, make the sacrifices, do the rubber drives and the scrap metal drives, and volunteer for the USO and go overseas and fight for our country, whether it was in the Pacific or in Europe or what have you. It was the entire country all chipped in and did something for the war effort. And we could have done that. We could have done that last year. And of course, we had this fucking bozo as the president who refused to do any of it and wanted to reopen, liberate Michigan right in the middle of the height of the first infection curve. And so this is the climate that we're in right now, where even a year into it, we're coming up on 1 year. I think March 15th will be the 1 year since I started isolating myself. And I know a lot of people started before that, but we're a year into this and we still can't fucking do it. I mean, Ron DeSantis has been defending the maskless Super Bowl for the last several days. He said, someone said, hey, you were at the Super Bowl without a mask. But how the hell am I going to be able to drink a beer with a mask on? DeSantis said, according to Politico. Come on, I had to watch the Bucks win. See, that's the kind of bullshit that I'm talking about. The self-indulgence. Yeah. It's all about me and indulging myself.
And I mentioned the basketball game. Here, in this part of the country, ACC basketball is the only religion there is.
Yeah.
Fuck, Baptists and all that shit. It's basketball. And if you win a fucking basketball game,
fuck those Baptists.
Then everything goes out the window because it's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I first moved here in 2004, I worked in the Research Triangle there in Raleigh-Durham.
Yeah,
and when I would sit down to lunch with these guys, that's all they talked about. ACC basketball. Nothing else. And every once in a while, I'd feel like maybe the conversation had lightened up a little bit, and I'd try to, interject something I saw on Letterman that night before or something, And they would all sit there and kind of look at me, and then they would just all turn their heads and just continue talking about fucking forward motion and jump shots and shit, and just, oh my God. But that's the point, is that we have things in this country that sort of supersede everything else, and our fucking sports is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, 1,000%. I wonder too, if instead of getting internal symptoms with COVID, if you ended up getting like visible mouth herpes, if that was the actual infection, I wonder if the precautions would be greater. I wonder if people would actually be frightened enough of that to actually make the sacrifice, or if they'd still be like, ah, fuck it.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I did develop a cold sore here, so thanks a lot.
That's gross. Just don't get anywhere near me. Thank you very much. But yeah, I mean, you see these videos. There was a video going on Twitter of post-game celebrations in the streets of Tampa. And I am staggered, and I know I shouldn't be surprised by this anymore. I shouldn't be shocked by it. None of us should, because it's been happening all along. But whenever I see a gathering like that, it's like, you know, you're scrolling through your Facebook page and you see some family member who was maskless at some kind of dinner gathering or something, and you go, yeah! And imagine that times a thousand. You see these morons marching through the streets and so on, engaging with other people, no masks, no distancing, as if everything is normal again. And you know what? Maybe most of those people don't end up getting COVID, but it's the idea of it. It's the peer pressure of it. It's right. The fear of missing out.
I got into an argument on Facebook with someone about Rand Paul when he was chastised for not wearing a mask. And the guy said, well, he was immune, you know, and I was I took the bait and went down the immune, you know, alleyway. And then all of a sudden I stopped and said, wait a minute, that's not the point. He was being a dick.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And that's the whole point of this. Just don't be a dick. You're a United States senator. Set an example.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, grow the fuck up.
And it's really, it's not about your local rules. It's not about, well, you know, I'm here in Massachusetts and the governor did this and this and this, and we can do that if we're so far apart and we've got all of it. Doesn't matter. Your local rules do not matter. If you're going to go on social media and advertise the fact that you had some big maskless dinner, like Naomi Wolf, the disgraced author Naomi Wolf, bragged the other day. She said, I just had a dinner in a Greek restaurant in Massachusetts with two tables of new friends and without masks, and I feel like I just met an illicit lover in a shady hotel. Naughty, nice. That is bullshit. That is horseshit, because she's going around advertising this and people see that and they feel like, well, she's doing it. I guess I can do it too. And then suddenly they're getting it and their grandparents are getting it and so on. And it spreads and it creates a super spreader event, because no one is able to see this as the global sacrifice that needs to take place. No one's willing to acknowledge that it's not just about you and your township and whatever rules are in place in your township or in your state. It is about the entire country, indeed the entire world. But we do this thing as human beings. Monkey see, monkey do.
We personalize everything too. It's like that idiot on the hill, the real estate chick, you know. Mm-hmm. She's taking advantage of that and using to sell her fucking real estate business.
Right, right.
So she doesn't even care enough about what she's doing to stick to that plan. Mm-hmm. You know, everything has got to be about me, and here's how it all, you know, applies to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're right. That's just a fundamental thing that, thanks to 30 or 40 years of you know, the way that we're marketed in this country, that you can have everything exactly the way you want it all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way people just think in America, and and that's why people in other countries make fun of us, because they realize how stupid that attitude is and how it will bite you in the butt.
Yeah, it's so extraordinarily selfish and entitled, and it exudes this sense of privilege, like, I'm allowed to I have freedom of, you know, I can go out and do these things, that it doesn't matter what you do, because I'm going to do them anyway. And so then Naomi Wolf gets into her replies after being rightfully ratioed on Twitter after announcing this dinner at this Greek restaurant. And then she starts justifying it by saying, well, Massachusetts has these rules where you can go to restaurants as long as you're 8 feet distance and you don't have to wear a mask. And by the way, our aerosolized COVID doesn't spread in restaurants, blah, blah, blah. All this fucking bro science that you see all the fucking time, especially on Facebook. All the bro science is almost annoying me more than the self-indulgent videos of Super Bowl revelers.
And getting back to exchanges with right-wingers, this is the number one thing they always say, is that the morbidity rate is less than 1% or whatever it is, you know, like only so many people are going to die.
Yeah.
And so therefore, are we just going to not have our lives? And those are your two choices. It's like the gun argument. There's like either we all have guns or nobody does. You know?
Yeah.
So they say that all the time. And then you want to say, of course, they're too fucking stupid to get it, that if everybody has that attitude and everybody just takes to the street and we all just ignore this and act like nothing's going on, we're back to where all the hospitals are overwhelmed with people. People are literally dying in the hallways, and 3 million people will die.
Yep.
And most of them elderly. And so the the intimation there is that, well, fuck them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're going to die. So
right.
Fuck them.
Exactly. We all have to sacrifice or else no one will. That's got to be the mantra across the board. Of course, this late in the game, the horse has already left the barn or whatever the saying is. Because there's at this point, me screaming about people violating the rules and not keeping in mind the collective sacrifice that needs to take place here, I'm just screaming into the void because thanks to Donald Trump nearly a year ago, this became a non-starter. Actually making a collective sacrifice became a non-starter. I don't know, President Biden is doing everything he can to get everything going on the right track.
Tyranny. That's tyranny.
Yeah, it is. Of course it's tyranny. You know, Joe Rogan says that he's not going to be taking the coronavirus vaccine and that the vaccine is only important and good to take for some people. Because
same thing.
If you're healthy,
I'm special.
Exactly. If you take care of yourself, if you're healthy,
hope his foot falls off.
God, I mean, if you do the entire Joe Rogan routine, which involves stem cells and sauna baths and these weird cryo freezes again, more bro science engaged here. If you do all those things, well, you don't need the vaccine. See, Joe Rogan, I heard Joe Rogan.
Like in Rogue One where someone comes in and he's being extracted out of the vat of goopy stuff that they keep... keeps him alive.
That's exactly right. Yeah, if you sit in a vat of goopy stuff, then you're not going to get coronavirus. You don't even need the vaccine because you're invulnerable to it. That's what the crazy thing about this is. I read an article earlier today where they're talking about Joe Rogan as being the new Rush Limbaugh.
The hairless apparent.
Yeah. And so what happens here is people hear Joe Rogan say that. They go, well, he's a person of authority. He has all of these. He has Neil deGrasse Tyson on his show all the time. I mean, how could they be wrong? And of course, they are wrong. We all have to get this goddamn vaccine or else. I mean, it's just going to be more of this. It's just going to go on and on and on.
And that's the thing. Now, you know, I could understand people making the argument before that, like, oh, are we just going to be like this from now on? We can't. We have to live our lives.
Yeah.
Well, now that the vaccine is here, we do see something on the horizon. And so it's the best time to hunker down and make sure we don't spread it any further because we will have a way to get – we'll never be the same extent. We won't be exactly the same as before. Yeah. But this will give us a chance to open up a little more if we just wait until we get that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Exactly.
And after getting the vaccine – then, yeah, I can see making that argument. We have to live our lives, but we don't have to kill 3 million people.
Today. No. I saw a great tweet the other day. This guy named
I'm personalizing it again.
Sure.
But I actually told somebody this on Facebook the other day. I have tested positive, and I'm here to tell you that no Super Bowl party is worth this.
That's exactly right. Of course it's not. I mean, of all things, the Super Bowl. It'd be like me. I've got to go to a Star Wars convention and fuck COVID, I'm just going to not wear a mask because of X and Y. Yeah, it's just dumb. I mean, if you have to sacrifice, like, for example, Buzz Burbank made a sacrifice based on something that was life and death necessary to go and take care of his parents. And yet there are people who are making that same sacrifice to watch a fucking bunch of millionaires throw a ball around a field. That's okay. No, that's not justified. That's not legitimate. You're just indulging your own fucking weaknesses. That's what that is all about. But there was this guy, Joseph Brassi on Twitter. I don't know who exactly he is, but I caught this tweet and I thought it was really salient. He said, I was not prepared for how many people are willing to let others die rather than suffer even a moment's inconvenience. Holy shit. That's exactly fucking right. And see, the thing is, though, I think I mentioned this on Thursday's show, so bear with me as I repeat myself. The death toll, I think, has been misleading to a lot of people, or I should say the emphasis on the COVID death toll, because it makes it seem as if the end all be all of this is whether you die or not. Whether it is fatal for you personally. And so that, to me, if you start to then narrow it down and say, well, it's just older people who are dying from it, not younger people, or according to Joe Rogan, not anyone who's, you know, taking care of themselves, which is also bullshit.
And most importantly, not white people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a great point to make. Thank you. And so on top of that, there are so many other things. There are myriad side effects from getting COVID. And I'm saying this to someone who now has tested positive for COVID, so I apologize for this, Mike. But there are other things that can happen to your body as a consequence of getting it. I mean, even beyond the health issues that could occur as a consequence of having it and not dying from it. On top of that, you've got another pre-existing condition. Congratulations, here's another pre-existing condition. And so that puts you in jeopardy, or someone in jeopardy who might be...
I have seen that thing about the death statistics quoted so much that I gotta think that's something that's hammered on Fox News like every night. Mm-hmm. Because anytime you see something that touted on the right, you know that's where it came from. It's Fox News or Rush or somebody. Well, once one of them does it, they all do it. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be up there with right-wing talking points.
And finally, the University of Miami fraternities are apparently hosting massive pool parties right now. And I guess because in Miami it's still warm, you can have pool parties. But, you know, I guess the fraternities down there have decided to combine the date rape with the COVID. So you've got two things. It's like peanut butter and chocolate. And so congratulations to them. But, you know, the other thing I think of, too, when I see instances like this, or when I see people marching around the streets of Tampa after the Super Bowl, I think of bike helmets. Since I've been riding a bike, I've always worn a bike helmet because... I have seen photographs of cyclists who have fallen off their bike or crashed on their bike and smashed their heads wide open. I mean, there have been cyclists who have died from that very thing, not wearing a helmet. So when I see someone, you know, admittedly not wearing a helmet and riding their bike down the street, or especially someone on a motorcycle not wearing a helmet, I get that. I don't know what that feeling, that adrenaline rush of that, that queasy rising feeling in my stomach, like that, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that. Because then I immediately envision that person with their head smashed on the ground. That's the first thing I think of. And it's the same reaction when I see people doing this irresponsible shit all the time. And
again, I used to have that attitude about wearing, when I rode a motorcycle, about, you know, hey, it's only going to be me that's affected if I fall off this bike and kill myself. But then I turned 15, you know, and realized that it's making insurance rates go up.
It
could cause another wreck. It could, you know, there's all kinds of things. It's a matter, again, of recognizing that you live in a society and you have obligations as a citizen.
Yeah. You've taken a hospital bed away from someone who may have been injured under legitimate circumstances, not fucking around like an idiot. And that's the other thing with COVID, is you get people who are now hospitalized who got COVID because they were being irresponsible. And then they're taking up a bed from someone who got COVID because of no fault of their own, because of whatever circumstances arose, emergency circumstances, what have you, flukes and so on. To me, then you're screwing around with other people. But I mean, beyond that, the fact that we're still shut down, or in some places are still shut down, we're still isolated, it's affecting everyone globally, unless you live, of course, in the countries where they actually made the sacrifice and they actually did the right thing and now they're done with it and they're having celebrations and concerts, places like New Zealand and Australia. They're having parties because they've eradicated COVID in their country.
Did you see the Saturday Night Live
Yes.
The Super Bowl.
Yes, it was one of the best sketches from
my
Saturday
job as a mouth massager.
That was so great. That was one of my favorite sketches they've done this season, because it really nailed
I laughed. I didn't see it until the following morning. I saw it like a half an hour after I found out I tested positive. So it occurred to me while I was laughing, I thought, you know, I probably would have laughed a lot harder at this last night.
Right. Yeah, that was great. I mean, how many times? It was a sketch. Those of you who didn't see Saturday Night Live Saturday night, they did a sketch where they're all getting together for a Super Bowl thing, and they're like, this is our bubble. We've all been safe. We can take our masks off. So they all take their masks off, and then they're discussing how safe they've been. And then it turns out, the longer they talk, they weren't really being safe. So like Beck Bennett's character was a mouth masseuse, and he massages people's mouths with his fingers and sometimes with his own mouth. And so this is like, very clearly they're not being as safe as they claim to be. And so that was the whole point of that sketch. And that was one of the
Then
the
they break out the chili and none of them can taste the chili.
Yes, and they're eating with their hands for some reason, which made it even funnier because you can't even imagine what the prop chili probably tasted like. So I'm watching like Dan Levy trying to choke down a handful of that fucking prop chili.
Ew, David.
Really, really good sketch.
That was the funniest single sketch I've seen on that show in a long time, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, we'll be back with more show right after these words.
Izier, that is A-I-S-I-E-R. What is it? Luxurious modern sleepwear for the independent woman. Their sleepwear is made from 100% washable silk. Oh, silk is known to reduce skin surface moisture loss and limit skin irritation. Best of all, it's comfortable, so lightweight, it feels like a second skin. It'll keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer with a fabric that loves your skin all year round. And in every type of weather, wearing silk to sleep is simply therapy at night. Izier is owned by an amazing woman, a single mom. Their products are made right here in California. You can feel good about supporting a small business delivering high-quality products. Now is the perfect time. Treat yourself or a loved one to something extra special to sleep and lounge in during Izier's Valentine's sale. Go to shopizier.com/discount/Stephanie. Use the discount code Stephanie, 10% off your order. That's shopizier.com/discount/Stephanie. Use that code Stephanie for 10% off your order.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, this is the great Dave Moulter, right? And a song called Late December. This is a tribute to Dave's friend and producer, Buddy Hall, who died unexpectedly last month at the age of 64. So it's an epic song from Dave Moulter here. I think this song is 8 minutes long. So it's like, it's right up my alley. I like the long songs. I like the long music. I like the prog stuff. DaveMoulterMusic.bandcamp.com. I think this is a masterpiece. This particular song by Dave Moulter is my favorite Dave Moulter track that we played here on the show. DaveMoulterMusic.bandcamp.com. Link in the description at BobSeska.com. Also, BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so...
If Ann Coulter married him, she'd be Ann Coulter Moulter.
Exactly right. Yeah, work on that, Dave. She's available. I think she's single. Good luck. Okay, so getting back into things here. Oh, I also wanted to mention, too, that there's this member of Congress, Ron Wright, who was wrong. Ron Wright was wrong about COVID. Yeah. And he actually, before he died from COVID last week, he was pushing for the reopening of schools, which is stupid because, again, it's not about whether the kids get infected, because most of the time they're going to survive, obviously with a pre-existing condition at that point. But on top of that, it's the kids bringing the virus to their teachers, the teachers giving it to coworkers. Yeah, exactly right. They're super spreaders. They're going to give it to everybody. They're going to bring it home. To me, the CDC is backpedaling from the closing of schools, and they're saying, well, I think we can reopen now. But I'm not sure if those are Trump holdovers still at CDC.
And I didn't really think that the microchip was in the vaccine I got, but on Wednesday, I turned blue and froze up.
All right. Yeah, perfect. So we also have this new variant first found in the UK known as B117, also my favorite Star Wars droid. It's spreading rapidly across the U.S., doubling roughly every 10 days. Oh, great fun. The variant is more contagious than earlier forms of the coronavirus and may be more lethal. And the CDC has warned that B117 could become the predominant strain in the United States by March. Well, that's okay because, you know, we're so good at making collective sacrifice and preventing these things before they get out of hand. So I think we're not going to be okay. It's not going to go well. And meanwhile, South Africa has...
That variant probably turns everybody into Kimberly Guilfoyle, and everybody just shouts on the corner.
The rampant mouth
everybody
herpes.
Everybody look out for me!
I'm crossing the street now.
Yes. And by the way, this causes you to hemorrhage from your genitals. So good luck.
Oh, wow.
See, it's
there's a whole new Pornhub category right there.
Oh, my God.
Ew, David.
Yeah. God damn it. That was funny. And I really hope it doesn't. I hope that's not the case. But I do think that it's going to require something like that for people to go, okay, I better take this seriously. I'm bleeding from my genitals. I must take this seriously now. But short of that, it's going to be like, ah, fuck it. I don't care. God damn it. So, okay, we have the impeachment going on, and we have this. Oh, yeah. It's you, Rocky Mountain Mike, impeached again, naturally, on the Bob Seska Show. Trying to hit the post.
It's in a little while from now, he's gonna have himself a cow. And all by himself, he tweets himself and wishes he were in Trump Tower. Sitting on his golden can, trying to make a brand new plan. To organize some boats, to find 12,000 votes, while his presidency is shattered. Can't stand next to a church, just like Lurch. Tear gas, they're spraying. My God, that's tough, we've had enough. No point in you remaining. You may as well go home. We decided and had a vote. Impeached again, naturally. Impeached again.
All right. Oh, perfect. Absolute perfection. Well done, my friend.
Thank you.
Oh, shit. Well, so a conviction in the Senate needs to be regarded as, for starters, because I think, obviously, he needs to be convicted in the Senate. He needs to be prevented from running for president again. But we can't lose sight of the fact that he needs to be criminally prosecuted on top of everything else. And if he's acquitted, it doesn't mean he can't be criminally prosecuted for inciting the insurrection anyway. Because there's a OLC memo at the Justice Department from, I believe it was 2000 or 2001, saying that, oh, yes, you can be criminally prosecuted if you're impeached, put on trial in the Senate, and acquitted. So he can be prosecuted criminally for the same charges that he's being put on trial for now in the Senate. So that's still
possible. But, you know, the thing that bothers me about this is not necessarily just the fact that he's going to be acquitted, which he probably will.
Mm.
Hopefully not. Hopefully we'll get to see some evidence. Where
it's the Republicans, Mike.
Right. Well, there'll be so much public pressure on them at a certain point, if the evidence becomes clear enough to the American people, to where they might actually – that might actually swing some votes. But the point is if they don't, then that's just it's going to happen again, and this will become the new norm.
Yeah,
is you just get your mob of people to storm the Capitol, and if it's okay this time, well, what's to prevent it from happening again?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what people don't seem to understand. This isn't just a matter of letting bygones be bygones. It's a matter of not setting a precedent.
It could happen again with Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump himself could do that again, because Donald Trump, you know, maybe will get his Twitter account back. Maybe he'll be president again. I mean, look, my level of faith in the American voter right now is at subterranean levels. I have less than zero faith in the reason and logic of American voters. I have a very sneaking suspicion that if Donald Trump runs again, that he's going to win again, because we are just gluttons for punishment. We are populated by way too many stupid people right now. And so it's entirely possible that he could be the one to repeat his same offense again. Well, you didn't convict me last time. I guess it's okay if I do it again. And so that's going to be probably an issue. But then there are copycats, too, and lots of people who would like to fill the teeny tiny dainty shoes of Donald Trump.
The only hope we ever have of setting a precedent on this in the right direction is if a Democrat does it.
Yeah, right.
You know, if Biden or somebody does this, then, for sure, it's serious.
but then, Mike, they deserve a mulligan. I mean, for God's sake, everyone makes mistakes. So I think if the Democrats do it, you get a mulligan. You know, because
he already had one. That was a year ago.
Yeah, Mike Lee today said Trump deserves a mulligan for that. You know what that is? Mike Lee saying that is an admission that Donald Trump is guilty of doing what he did. Because right. you only get a mulligan for something that you've done wrong. And by saying, okay, Donald Trump gets a mulligan, that's admitting that he committed this crime. He incited the insurrection, which to me is all self-evident fact anyway. All you got to do is look at the video. All you got to do is look at how involved the White House was in all of this and how it was Donald Trump's own words. We have to go down there and we have to fight like hell to take our country back. How did he think that that fighting like hell was going to happen and go down at the Capitol building? As he said, well, we're all going to walk down there except me. Well, he said he was going to go down with them, but ultimately didn't go down there with them. But what were they going to do when they get there in terms of fighting like hell? What, like just stand there and protest? Was that the expectation? Or
and 90% of Republicans support him today.
Yeah.
How is that going to change?
Mm-hmm.
How is that even going to change?
That's right. Yeah. I don't know that's going to change at all. Obviously, there are 74 million voters here who are lost. They're gone. We're never going to get them back. To convict Trump, 17 Republicans are going to need to vote in favor, along with 48 Democrats, 2 independents, to reach a 2-thirds supermajority. Just 5 Republicans voted with Senate Democrats against a motion on January 27 to declare the trial unconstitutional. Here's the process, just so you're aware in terms of what the TikTok is going to be moving forward over the next 5-6 days. Today, of course, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 hours of debate equally divided between prosecutors and defense on whether the trial is constitutional, followed by a vote needing a simple majority to proceed. So that should probably go forward. On February 10 at 12 p.m. tomorrow, House of Representatives will begin arguing its case. The managers, prosecutors, and defense will have up to 16 hours each to present their arguments, with neither side permitted to present more than 8 hours per day. Feb 12 at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, the trial will break through Saturday. And then on February 14 at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, the trial will reconvene on that Sunday. Arguments will be followed by 4 hours of senators' questions. If the House impeachment managers want to call witnesses or subpoena documents, there will be 2 hours of debate by each side, followed by a Senate vote on whether to allow this. Oh, fun. This looks like so much fun. All those procedural votes. If witnesses are called, there will be enough time given to depose them and for each party to complete discovery before testimony is given. Once witnesses and evidence are dealt with, there will be 4 hours of closing arguments divided evenly between the prosecutors and defense. Lastly, will come the vote on conviction or acquittal, for which 2-thirds majority is required. They probably aren't going to get over that threshold, which makes subsequent prosecution absolutely necessary as far as I'm concerned, because Ben Sasse in particular was talking to a White House staffer who told him, quote, "This was unfolding on television. Donald Trump." Okay, this is Ben Sasse talking. "As this was unfolding on television, Donald Trump was walking around the White House confused about why other people on his team weren't as excited as he was, as you had rioters pushing against Capitol Police trying to get into the building." And that's Ben Sasse indicating that he had learned of Trump's reaction from, quote, senior White House officials. "It took him a while to appreciate the gravity of the situation," Lindsey Graham, of one of Trump's most loyal supporters, said in an interview with The Washington Post 2 days after the riot. "The president saw these people as allies in his journey and sympathetic to the idea that the election was stolen." So Lindsey Graham, one of his top supporters on the Hill, is now saying, yeah, Donald Trump didn't understand what was going on. He took him a while to figure out, oh, this is bad. This is a bad thing.
Yeah, this is a bad thing, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's because he's such a fucking sadist.
That's right.
He was getting off on this.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he was the direct beneficiary of it. Make no mistake. Donald Trump doesn't care what the means are.
There's that aspect of it, too.
Yeah.
But you know how he is. He just loves chaos.
Right.
And this is chaos for him.
Yeah.
So, this is a good thing. And so, you know, I mean, it's just amazing that he never fucking dropped a bomb on somebody.
That's right. Well, it's the reason he didn't stand up and say, stop doing this. No, disperse, go away, stop doing this. This is bad. You don't want to do this, and especially not in my name. Instead of doing that, he allowed it to move forward because he was going to directly benefit from it. It's like all of the times that, whether it was Charlottesville or, you know, during the debate when he was asked to condemn the Proud Boys, instead he said, stand by and stand back or whatever. He refuses to do this because then he's harming his own standing with those people. He's harming his own popularity polls because then you could potentially lose the racist white guy vote or the racist insurrectionist vote. And he doesn't want to do that. So he's willing to embrace those people if it means good things for Donald Trump. And of course, he is kind of one of those people anyway. I mean, whether it's the Central Park Five, this history of racism, booting black people out of their homes as a slumlord and so on. This is Donald Trump's history as this kind of once business leader, now political leader. Lindsey Graham also said they were all trying to get him to speak out, his White House staff. They were all trying to get him to speak out, to tell everyone to leave, Graham said of the aides huddled with Trump that day. The senator said he did not know why it took so long to get the president to respond. You know what? The House managers should get Lindsey Graham to testify for them. Because just repeat these things.
Did you not say that? Yeah, because then if he doesn't verify it, then he could be up on perjury.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, meanwhile, a Pentagon spokesperson, John Kirby, told reporters today that the projected cost for the National Guard to secure the Capitol from Jan 6 through March 15 is $483 million. So congratulations, insurrectionists, you far-right goons. You just increased the size of government by $483 million, you big government goons, you.
Jesus might be Christ. Because of my illness earlier today, but I was feeling very dejected about everything.
Yeah.
And looking at this situation and seeing, you know, how Trump is in somewhat decent shape through this, simply because he has a base and simply because he's got some popularity.
Yeah.
There's that aspect. And also there's the whole, you know, rich white guy thing, is that you can just get away with anything in this country if you have enough influence.
That's right. As long as you have Mike Lee to say, well, you deserve a mulligan. I've had lots of traffic tickets where I wish I had a mulligan. That'd be great if I had a mulligan.
Right.
I'm looking at you, Maryland State Patrol officers. I need a mulligan
And this is the argument, and it's too bad we don't have Gregory Peck or Henry Fonda or, you know, somebody, James Stewart, to make this argument in front of the American people that if I stood there and did this, I would be in prison.
That's exactly right.
And it's
right,
only because it's him that's not happening.
Well, and it's because of politics. It's this Republican circle the wagons attitude that they've had certainly since Reagan, but probably a lot before that too, where, you know, it's whatever the 11th commandment is, thou shalt not speak ill against other conservatives or whatever the nonsense is.
Well, and to be fair, Clinton, you know, if you were working as a manager in a fucking IHOP and you did what Clinton did, you would be fired.
Right. That is true.
And maybe even sued.
Mm-hmm. So. But at the same time, you know, there's a level of egregiousness about this particular impeachment exceeds. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm not comparing the two. Sorry. But
yeah,
I'm just pointing out the whole thing of once you get a certain amount of power and prestige and money, you can get away with a lot more. And Me Too kind of change that, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but somehow that has not gotten through to this particular niche of people, that we're living in a different world now.
And the thing that we're never going to get beyond here is the fact that this was never, opposition to Donald Trump was never really about politics. I mean, obviously there was a political dimension to it, but opposition to Donald Trump has invariably been about Americanism, what it means to possess and to exude American values, to uphold those standards and ideals and uphold the institutions that buttress the values that we have. It was always about that. That's why you have so many Republicans, and I say so many, but enough, you know, whatever it is, 10, 15% of them have opposed Donald Trump, because this is beyond just left versus right, Republican versus Democrat. This is an existential. Donald Trump represented an existential threat, and to a certain extent still does, insofar as there are going to be myriad copycats from now until whenever, people trying to pick up the mantle where he left off. And in fact, it may even be him. When we get to the post-mortem show later, we're going to be talking about how his kids are picking up that mantle and some possibilities along those lines for Don Jr. and Ivanka. And so that's what we're looking at.
What's funny is to see like the Boberts and stuff who are trying to do it and are failing miserably.
Right.
You know, and that's really funny to watch because they're, it's like you mentioned Rush Limbaugh, you know, because he made so much money, here come a bunch of other Rush Limbaughs to try to cash in on that. But I think in this case, you are seeing a couple of people that are just making fucking idiots out of themselves.
That's right.
Because they don't have whatever it is Trump has, and God knows what the fuck that is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's able to get away with it when they're not.
Right, right. Well, we're going to get back into all of this. We got some... we haven't even talked about Lou Dobbs yet. We're going to talk about Lou Dobbs in just 1 second. But first, we are so grateful that vaccinations for COVID-19 are underway. Unfortunately, while there's light at the end of the tunnel, infection rates and hospitalizations are at an all-time high across the country. In California, some hospitals are turning away patients or threatening to ration care. While we're nearing the finish line for this brutal pandemic, getting there means staying safe. For the foreseeable future, only respirator face masks provide real protection from transmission. Unfortunately, the huge demand and limited supply of respirators means we are flooded with fakes and counterfeits that do almost nothing. Well, right now, the newdealshop.com has FDA-authorized KN95 respirator masks with anti-fraud labeling on every single package that can be verified right on the manufacturer's website. They're tested in the United States by the NPPTL and provide the most significant level of protection. Their respirator masks are in stock in the U.S. and ship immediately for free. Go to thenewdealshop.com now and get verified, authenticated, FDA-authorized N95 masks shipped immediately to your home or business. That's thenewdealshop.com. TheNewDealShop.com. Thank you.
Bob Seska. I'm Fraction. I feel torn apart like a rock through my stained glass heart. Visiting your grave, I scream to the sky. Time slipped away. Fractured like scattered ashes of the footprints on my floor.
Okay, I'm blaming my hearing loss on the bitter elegance and this song Fractured, which I've been playing it like, I've been playing it on 11 since Friday. So great. Yeah, bitter elegance. Again, the song is called Fractured. From their album Hiding in the Spotlight, thebitterelegance.com. If you want to support them, link in the description of bobseska.com. And as always, bobseska.com/music to submit. Okay, lots to talk about here still as we wrap up the show today. Joe Biden, citing Trump's erratic behavior unrelated to the insurrection, said Trump should not receive intelligence briefings. So this is all fantastic news that... It's very fantastic. And whenever I say fantastic, I think of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He never paid attention to him in the first place.
I know. That's right. Would he even read them? I don't think so. Yeah. Who would he get? I mean, he would have to get someone to read them to him or make bullet point notes. Or they would have to do a special version of it.
And everything. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, he wouldn't read them anyway. But it's the idea of it. Like, he would probably take them and try to sell them.
He would sell them on infomercials.
Exactly right. He would be on in the middle of the night saying, I've got some amazing secrets here for you. It doesn't matter. They're not going to convict me anyway. The Republicans will protect me.
But wait, that's not all you get. You get the pocket fisherman, too.
Exactly. Billy Big Mouth Bass. It's so funny. It's so hilarious when it starts singing. And you never know it. You think that's just a fish on the wall. But then the fish on the wall starts singing and it's crazy. Oh, shit. Okay, so that's good news. He's not going to get the intelligence briefings. Meanwhile, this is the best news. The best news is that Lou Dobbs is gone. He's out. He's been fired. And let's do this. Yay. More Rocky Mountain Mike.
Please take him away and stop this right we throw. Here I sit watching Lou's hateful, nasty crap. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world with Lou Dobbs.
Original song by Lennon and McCartney.
Yes, I've heard they were popular in the 60s and early 70s.
Yeah, they decided that wasn't that song wasn't right for the Beatles, so they gave it to Peter Gordon.
How about that? Well, Lou Dobbs is out. He's going to go home and spend more time with his giant teeth, is what he's going to do.
He's going to go to Oaxaca.
shit.
Warfulda.
He's going to retire in Waka-ha.
Warfulda.
That's right. I completely forgot about that. Oh, shit. Well, yeah. And the crazy thing about Lou Dobbs is, much like everyone who gets fired from Fox News, they go on vacation and then they never come back.
What's vacation mean?
Vacation's when you go somewhere and you don't ever come back.
No, you don't. You get fired. See, this is going to... No one at Fox News is going to go on vacation anymore. Because they're just like, oh, shit. If I go on vacation, I may never come back from that vacation.
They should just say that they went away to a farm upstate.
That's right, where they can run and run. Yeah, very nice. But, yeah, I guess Lou Dobbs is too much of a liability now that there's a gigantic lawsuit involving him for billions of dollars. And I'm surprised Maria Bartiromo is still around, too. That's kind of shocking. Janine Pirro hasn't been fired either. But I hear that Lachlan Murdoch is making some decisions right now. He says Fox News doesn't need to move further to the right. So maybe Lachlan Murdoch is going to... maybe force Fox News to clear house there. I mean, he's the CEO of Fox Corp. So he...
The Janine Pirro thing mystifies me. You know, why isn't she gone as well?
Yeah.
And shouldn't Laura Ingraham be in trouble over this too?
Well, the entire primetime lineup should be gone. I mean, they should have been bounced right after the insurrection with everyone else. I mean, make no mistake about this. But the crazy thing about Lou Dobbs is for the longest time, and this is... Talk about being from the falling from the highest height. Lou Dobbs was kind of the de facto chief of staff for Donald Trump. He was the guy who Donald Trump was consulting with more often than I think even Sean Hannity, where he was actually allowing Lou Dobbs to make decisions on Homeland Security, to make decisions on border security. Donald Trump is literally telling people at DHS, oh, you got to listen to Lou Dobbs, what he says. You make sure to check in with Lou Dobbs and make sure you got the green light from him. That's what's so crazy about this. And thank
God.
Well,
the whole thing was a show. Everything to him was a show. And like I said on Twitter, based on his hiring practices, the only reason that he doesn't have Andy Griffith and Raymond Burr as his defense lawyers is because they're not available.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, we'll see what Lou Dobbs does now. My assumption is he's going to either go to OAN or Newsmax or something like that. But I don't know if they even want him because I think they're a little spooked because of the lawsuits, too.
Yeah, nobody wants to touch that shit.
No. Yeah. What was there was a thing last week going around, a video of from Newsmax, and Mike Lindell was trying to filibuster. And they just, I think they, like one anchor from Newsmax just walked out of the studio while Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, was screaming. And I wonder if it was, because there was a similar thing with Sarah Palin on one of the shows where she just kept filibustering and they were trying to talk over her and get her to stop. And she just kept going. And I wonder if it was actually... the multiplexing or whatever it is, the audio dropouts using streaming, whether it's Skype or one of the other things where only one, you can only hear one person at a time. If you're talking, then the other person gets muted automatically somehow. So that may have been it too, but I'm just going to assume.
Well, I got the impression he was trying to read the disclaimer.
Oh,
yeah. He was, I think the way I saw it was that he couldn't get the disclaimer out. So he was just, as a way of showing anybody watching, I'm not having any part of this.
Right.
He just walks away.
Yeah, that's always a smart move. If you can't get a word in edgewise, just get up and walk off your own show. That's the best.
Right. Well, as a way of limiting your liability.
That's true. Absolutely. 1,000%. You don't want to be in that fucking stream of craziness as it bursts out of Mike Lindell's face. Meanwhile, Georgia election officials have launched an investigation into Trump's attempt to screw with the election there. Also, more great news there because that's... It's everything to do with that phone call. Brad Raffensperger is pursuing Trump on this front. And this is one of those things that you can't, if he secretly pardoned himself, it doesn't matter. This would be state level charges.
I think the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday night were phoning Georgia. Look, we just need 27 more points.
Exactly right. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine who's the head coach of the Chiefs? Reed.
I don't know. Jerry. I fucking don't know.
I would say Jerry Reed. Andy Reed is it? Yeah.
I can't believe I produced the name Andy Reid. I don't watch football anymore, but I think I remember that guy because he was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles for a while. So good luck to Donald Trump trying to wiggle his way out of that one.
And my other Super Bowl comment was, I don't understand why they don't have Kimberly Guilfoyle doing the sideline reports, because CBS would save a lot of money on microphones and cables.
That's right.
And I got a like from that from Mary Trump.
So that's the best. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, speaking of Mary Trump, I did an interview with a great reporter named Simon Owens, who has a Substack newsletter. I have it linked on my Facebook. He was asking me about what it's like to host a podcast. And so I tried to impart shitty wisdom about this little show. And so go check that out. I've got that linked right from my Facebook wall. It's How Bob Seska Built a Paid Membership for His Politics Podcast. So there you go. Check that out. And the reason I mention that is because I give a big plug to Mary Trump in there, too. So, okay.
She is unbelievably cool.
She is one of the best. Absolutely one of the best. So, and she loves Star Trek. And so that's good. And she listens to this show. Anyone who listens to this show is the tops in my book, as they say. Okay, lots more to get to. We're going to talk about Junior and Ivanka running for office. Interesting details on Junior, by the way, where and when he might run for something. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about, my God, another disgraced former Trump aide is in legal trouble, and the worst kind of legal trouble. Plus, some good news for Rachel Maddow and MSNBC, and some bad news for the fine folks at OAN. All right, we're going to get into all that in our postmortem show on our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. All you got to do is sign up for $5 a month, and you get two postmortem shows every week. We just keep talking right after this music is done playing on our Tuesday and Thursday shows. We call that the Postmortem Show. About 20 minutes long, and we post it exclusively on our Patreon page. So if you're just listening on Stitcher or Apple Music or Spotify, you're missing out big time. The real fun happens on the Postmortem Show, so stand by for that. Again, BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Meanwhile, how can people find you, Rocky Mountain Mike?
Rocky at Rocky MNTN Mike on Twitter, and Rocky_Mountain_Mike on Instagram.
There you go. And you cannot catch COVID from Rocky Mountain Mike's Instagram. I have verified that myself. It is a wonderful.
If you come to my mouth massaging business, that's a totally different story.
I was going to say your photography is bar none the gold standard, especially when it comes to national park photography. But that's okay, too. Your mouth massaging sideline, your side hustle is perfect, too. See you on the Postmortem Show. Bye-bye.
Watchful eye.
Imagine this Valentine's Day story is you. You're parked outside the restaurant where you're meeting your date in 10 minutes. Glancing in the mirror, you cringe. Not on Valentine's Day. You can't go in with those bags under your eyes, not to mention crow's feet. You rummage through your purse saying, please tell me I have my Plexiderm with me. And bingo, there it is. You apply the clear serum under your eyes and smile confidently, knowing that in minutes you'll look fresh, bright-eyed, and years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just minutes. It's the Valentine's Day gift you give yourself. You can try a 6-day, 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES at checkout.